BBC Radio 4, I'm Brian Perkins. Coming up next is the Dead Ringers Edinburgh special. That special, in the same way all the other Edinburgh Radio 4 shows are special, there'll be a couple of references to deep-fried Mars bars. Plus the obligatory anti-English jokes, obviously thrown in by the producer, so the haggis munchers in the audience can laugh their heads off like the retarded jocks they are. Last night on George Street, I had the misfortune of eating something tart and typically Scottish that disagreed with me. Kirsty Walk. That's the last time she tries to diss me. Then I tried some haggis. It was disgusting. If I want to tuck into a bag full of pig's blood, I'll go out with Libby Purvis. She likes haggis too. And nobody better try giving me a flyer for one of their lame student review shows while I'm here, or the only stars they'll be seeing won't be in their review in The Scotsman, oh no. They'll be seeing them as their faces hit the pavement. Unlike the rest of the coke-snorting London media whores, who are only up here so they can shag naive actresses, I do plan to take in some sights, though Simon Fanshawe always seems to beat me to Arthur's seat. Oh, and in case you're wondering the answer to the age-old question, I can tell you exactly what's worn under Brian Perkins' kilt. It's 9 inches of deadly, razor-sharp titanium metal. Plus, there's a decent-sized blade as well. Ringers from the Edinburgh Festival.
Hello and welcome back to Newsnight with me, Kirsty Wark. A crazy individual arrested for driving his car in the front of a BBC building now has released his stadium. Those headlines again with the consonants reinstated. A crazed individual arrested for driving his car into the front of a BBC building in London has released this statement.
Hi, Des here. Yes, I am that desperate to get back to the BBC. Still, it's not all bad news hosting ITV football, as when it came to the police lineup, absolutely no one recognised me. Hey, used to be loved, not anymore. Let's call that a shame, why don't we? Oh.
This summer, here on BBC One, you haven't just got repeats and lame new sitcoms we'd never dare show any other time to look forward to. You've also got yet more increasingly desperate Weakest Link specials.
Hello, and welcome to The Weakest Link. The Trappist Monks special. Right, so, for the seventh round running, monks, you've banked a pathetic £0. So, who's one bad habit you need to lose? Whose presence means you haven't got a prayer? It's time to vote off the weakest monk.
Statistically speaking, in that round, all the monks were the weakest link, as none of them answered a single question correctly, or in fact, said anything at all.
And there's even more desperation to savour just a week later.
Hello and welcome to The Weakest Link, Engine Parts Special. Camshaft, you voted for Spark Plug, why?
Until finally they've done every lame format in the world, so they just have to resort to putting hallucinogenic drugs in Anne's tea so she can imagine she's got some interesting players.
Singing toaster astride the miniature giraffe. You voted for the talking sofa with the razor-sharp teeth. Why?
Hello there and welcome to Gardener's World with me, Alan Titchmarsh. Sort of Michael Aspel, but with mucky hands. Now, one of the great things about gardening is it never changes. No fashions, no fads. One generation of gardener is much the same as the next. And to prove the point, I'm collaborating this series with one of the young guns, the star of Homefront, Dermot Gavin. Hello, Dermot.
I'm not particularly happy with the concept of hello, but, you know, I'll live with it.
Right. Now, you've been working on the garden of the Jenkins family, who wanted a sort of play area for the kids. Now, I imagine you've made a nice little sandpit.
I have created a sensory deprivation sphere constructed out of platinum and moon granite, containing the shards of 1,000 window panes, and which, through jet propulsion, floats 300 metres above the Jenkins garden.
Not a sandpit, then?
No.
How will your, sphere help the kiddies play?
I'm a gardener, not a Teletubby.
Well, I don't know. You seem a bit la-la to me.
If people question my vision or integrity, you know, it makes me feel so vulnerable.
Percy Thrower's turning in his grave.
Ah, you heard about that. I used a hydraulic rotating device. It was visionary.
This is Trevor MacDonald with the ITV News. 5% news, 95% polyester. And it's just been announced that, much like previous contestants, Jade Goody has landed herself a big job thanks to her appearance on Big Brother.
You have to know that I would never have considered launching this attack on Iraq without consultifying you first, Jade. Your understandification of the geographics of the region is second only to my own. Now, tell me again how Iraqistan is not in the Middle East, but it's actually in Cambridge in London, Chester, under the East Anglia flyover.
Everyone knows East Anglia's abroad.
I know East Anglia's in foreign. That's what I've been telefrying everyone for years. But no one would believe me, even when I tried to bomb it.
Welcome to the world's most dangerous animals with me, Steve Irwin. Woo! Yeah, the balls of a lion, the brain of a lemming. Yeah. Now today, I'm dealing with one of the most feared animals on the face of the earth. Boy, when he strikes, feel the power. He hits like a ton of bricks, delivering a deadly blow. So I'm just going to poke him with a little stick.
Oh! And inasmuch as I am as Deputy Prime Minister, I'll be looking at some Aussie bloke in shorts, and I make no apology for that in due course.
Hey, you're all right, mate. Easy. Boy, is he deadly. He's got the strength of a big cat, a jaguar. More than that, two jaguars. Ooh, the big fella's getting really hot, so I'm just going to move away. But whoa, look at this little fella here. Oh, beautiful. He doesn't look as though he could hurt a fly.
As Mayor of London, can I help you down these stairs?
Hello there and welcome to Film 2002 with Jonathan Watts. Despite his success in the first series of 24, there were rumours that Kiefer Sutherland is to be replaced by a hunky British actor.
My name's Special Agent Johnny Vegas. Terrorists are plotting to assassinate a presidential candidate on the day of the California primary. My wife and daughter have got kidnapped, but most worrying of all, the pub over the road shuts in an hour's time. So what follows are going to have to be the quickest 24 pints of my life. That's it, I've finished all 24 pints. Something's bound to happen now, other than me wetting my pants again. Hello?
Hello, Johnny. I think you know who I am.
Oh, no. Victor Drayson.
I just thought I'd let you know that I've carried out my threat to wreak revenge on you for the death of my sister. I've killed your wife.
Oh, well, easy come, easy go.
And I've tampered with all the pumps in the pub. So you've been drinking Calibre.
No!
London Abyss Inquiries.
Oh, yes, hello. That's the London Eye, yes?
That's right.
Oh, yes, I wanted to make a voyage on one of your pods, please. Tell me, where do the pods actually leave from?
They leave from the actual London Eye. They don't go any place in particular. They just kind of go round.
They go round?
That's right. It's the shape of a Ferris wheel.
Yes.
and actual capsules on the side, which hold up to 25 people each, and it brings you in a 30-minute rotation.
What, by temporal kinesis?
I don't know, but it goes round. Yeah, I suppose so. It's almost like a Ferris wheel, a really slow Ferris wheel.
So your pods travel up and then they travel
down
again?
Round, basically, yeah.
Oh, that's very charming. A little primitive, but very, very charming. Now, could I take my dog on board?
We don't allow animals unless it's a guide dog, so no.
Well, sort of. He's very wise canine. He's had full osmic reconfiguration.
Really?
Yes, does that count?
No, he doesn't at all. No.
So, tell me, are you called the London Eye because you have a direct parallax configuration to the Eye of Horus?
Possibly, yeah.
So the London Eye can take me to Sutek?
Probably, yeah, I think so. I don't know, you'll have to ask on the day.
It goes up.
But in the meantime, it brings you from the bottom of the eye, from the pier, and it brings you right round, back to the bottom again.
It must go very, very high. Are the pods resistant to being sucked into the universe of antimatter?
I hope so, yes.
Because Omega will want to try that, you know.
Really?
Yes. Now, these pods, they are merely travelling pods, are they?
Completely, yeah.
And they are not hatchlings for Zygon warriors.
They're not Zygon warriors at all.
Because something similar was developed by the Cybermen.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What was developed by the Cybermen?
Cybermen.
Cyber.
Special pods.
Special pods.
In
to
which
do
they
what?
They kept their hatchlings in there.
Oh, and really?
And then when the hatchlings had matured, they turned their organic bodies and changed them for metal parts and machinery.
Well, I suppose it's like that in life in general, isn't it? Kind of pod-type thing. The whole shape keeps the little ones in, I suppose.
Yes. That's where the Cybermen came from in 1967 when I was Patrick Troughton.
Oh, really?
Look, I've got to go now. The Time Lords say I've just got to go to directly before the Daleks evolved and I've got to try and avert their creation or make them evolve into a less aggressive species.
Excellent.
So I better go.
All right,
Thank you. Goodbye.
Nice shoes, I said. Thanks, he said. How much, I said. You can't put a price on the moon, he said. Talk straight, I said. Or the sun, he said. Say it as you see it, I said. Say it as I see it, he said. Yeah, say it as you see it, I said. Okay, I'll say it as I see it, he said. This has got to be the worst goddamn advert in history, he said. I beg your pardon, I said. I mean, what the heck does Samuel L. Jackson walking down a muddy path in a silly hat talking gibberish have to do with the goddamn Barclays Bank, he said. Well, I said. And it's so disappointing when good actors like you do this kind of garbage. It's not like you need the money, he said. No, it's not. But you see, I said. And the whole thing so obviously dreamt up by pretentious coke-snorting 19-year-olds, he said. It makes me want to puke my guts, he said. I'm ashamed of myself, I said. And I lived.
Over on BBC One now, there's vintage comedy from the 1970s. Yes, it's The House That Jack Built with Adam Faith. But here on BBC Two, it's Your Money or Your Life with Alvin Hall.
Hi, I'm Alvin Hall, the Graham Norton of accountancy. Bill Gates works for Microsoft, and he's doing fairly well. He has about $58.7 billion in the bank. But with my help, he could increase that by up to $80.
Hey, who the hell are you?
Now, I'd like you to imagine that your finances are represented in this chocolate cake. I'm going to take an infinitesimally small amount away. That's how much you're wasting by not using second-class mail or selling your unwanted clothes to tramps.
I'm the richest man in the world. I don't need your nitpicking advice.
Imagine that your pension plan is this apple and cinnamon strudel.
Security.
Come on, buddy.
Do you really need three security guards?
Just keep your mouth shut.
Next week, I show BBC boss Greg Dyke how he could save a fortune by sucking smug, overpaid Noels like me.
Osama bin Laden is the head of a leading terrorist organization, and in his professional life is a powerful, confident man. But when it comes to dating, he's about as successful as the Kabul branch of Ann Summers. This week, the team's task is to find someone that Osama would like to meet.
Right. I'm going on my dummy date. I've got my best outfit on, I have brushed my hair, and I've strapped explosives to my waist. Oh, let's party.
Style consultant Jay Hunt, confidence coach Jeremy Milnes, and flirt queen Tracy Cox watch from the van. Oh, my God, look at what he's wearing. Combat jacket and balloon pants. It's MC Hammer meets the Village People.
Yeah. And he doesn't look comfortable or relaxed. You know, garroting the waiter is a telltale sign of nervousness, Tracy.
So, Osama, do you like what I'm wearing?
No, it is whorish. Women should not show their faces, never mind wrists or shins. Your clothing demonstrates that you are a depraved Western temptress and should be flogged.
Oh, right.
So where's it from, River Island?
So what did Jackie make of Osama? My main problem with Osama is his beard. I can't stand beards. And the fact that he's the most evil-hated man in the world only made things worse. And what did Osama think of Jackie?
Oh, she's one of the many who must be exterminated in the holy struggle. Good knockers, though.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. Guess who's back? Back again. Charlotte's back. Tell a friend. BBC Radio has announced that it's to make a daily Asian soap opera. The show's producers have promised that it'll be as accurate a representation of Asian life in Britain today as The Archers is of life in the countryside. So here's a sneak preview of Judi Dench, starring in 2 chicken tikka masalas, a naan bread, 3 poppadoms, and 2 pints of Kingfisher, please.
I cannot help but feel apprehensive about our upcoming arranged marriage, us being Indian and all, my dear Ranjeep Briars.
Now, Judy, you know my love for you is as deep as the Ganges. That being a river that flows through New Delhi, which is a city in India after all. And do not forget, I have amassed considerable property in London. There's a lovely semi-detached house in Surbiton with a pig and a vegetable patch.
Yes. Oh, Father, you're looking pale. Are you worried what the neighbours will think of this arranged marriage?
No. It's this damned boot polish which keeps coming off. Remember that just like me, Ranjeep Briars arrived in this country from darkest Calcutta with nothing. But he was prepared to work 17 hours a day, 7 days a week in his corner shop, us being Indian and all.
Father, I cannot live a lie. I must tell you that my heart rarely belongs to another. I love Martin Jarvik.
Hello. I'm the swarthy Bollywood-style matinee idol Martin Jarvik. And don't forget my new audio cassette. Martin Jarvik rigs the menu from the Taj Mahal restaurant. Available to buy now in all good corner shops.
You're back with the Today programme, where the time is just coming up to the turn-off for chipping Sodbury on the M11. Panic is spreading in cities as far apart as Hong Kong and Bangkok as the region has become shrouded in what's being described as a deadly Asian haze. We cross now to our reporter in the region.
I don't know why everyone's blaming me for this deadly haze. I told Richard when we booked the holiday we should bring our own haze from Mark's with us, but oh no, he insisted on purchasing one from one of these local shops. The second we plugged in this deadly haze back in our hotel room, we knew it was a disaster. What a dreadful way to go. It's not even lemon scented.
Hello, marketing.
Hello, that is Polydor Records, is it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, somebody from Downing Street was going to call, but I wanted to handle this matter directly, so I'm just phoning from my vacation at the moment. But in view of the lyrics that, you know, George Michael criticised me with in his recent song...
Right.
Yeah. We felt at Downing Street that, in this case, it was only fair that he allows me to use some of his lyrics to...
Right. Let me just put you through to his product manager. Let me just...
All right.
Hello.
Hello. It's Mr. Blair. I'm just speaking from Downing Street. I was explaining before, in view of the criticisms levelled at me by Mr. Michael, we felt in the party that it was now only fair that Mr. Michael let me use some of his lyrics for my own political purposes. These are the days of the open hand. They will not be the last. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. The rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have too much. Do you get the picture?
So do you want the management number?
Bad boys, stick together. Never sad boys. Da-da-da-da-da. Woo-woo.
You nutter.
Are you getting... Well, it's not a case of being a nutter. It is a case of...
Okay, you need to speak to his manager, and he's called Andy Stevens.
Wham, bam, I am a man. Job or no job, you can't tell me that I'm not. I think it will work very well, don't you?
I think you've got a real angle there.
Well, you know, thank you very much for letting me explore this with you, and I'm sure it will be of benefit.
You're welcome.
Wake me up before you go-go. Take me dancing tonight.
Bye.
Now it's 24 minutes past the Duchy on the left-hand side. Playwright Harold Pinter has complained about thought for the day. Here is Harold Pinter's thought for the day.
My thought. is.
Well, I'm afraid you've run out of time there. But at least it was better than the usual patronising, brain-lacerating, delved, self-satisfied platitudes from smug religious boards you just want to shoot in the head. And now the weather forecast.
Niles, Niles, I've just found out some terrible news. Frasier's going to leave us.
Now, Daphne, that really is a most ludicrous statement. And for once, it isn't because of your ridiculous accent.
No, it's true. Frasier says he thinks the show is coming to an end and he wants to move on.
Ah, relax, Daphne. If Frasier does leave the show, Niles has already found a replacement.
Quite so. His replacement is a man with Frasier's gloomy gravitas and a poncho for giving advice to anyone who'll listen. And, by happy coincidence, he has almost exactly the same name. Here he is now.
No, we're doomed, doomed, Captain Mannering, we're doomed.
Hi, Frasier.
You stupid boy!
It's time for Osama's final date. Jeremy has helped him overcome low self-esteem caused by persistent internet rumours about the size of his cave. Tracy's turned him into a very different sort of lady killer. And Jay, despite Osama's most profound religious convictions, has persuaded him to ditch that beard.
Hello, I'm Osama. Nice to meet you. Can I take your coat?
Yeah, now that's good, that's good. Showing her a little respect, he's saying, I am a Taliban, but I know how to treat a lady. Good.
So, Osama, what do you do then?
I'm an Al-Qaeda international terrorist.
Oh, right. Come on, Ozzy, make a joke out of it.
We have a thing at Al-Qaeda, actually. You don't have to be a paranoid psychopath to work here, but it helps.
Oh, that's very funny. And where do you live?
I live in a cave at the moment. It's not a very big one.
Oh, don't apologise for the size of your cave, Ozzy.
Then again, it's not how big your cave is, it's what you do in it.
Oh, cheeky.
Nice, nice. Well done, Ozzy. Well done.
The date is going brilliantly. So will Osama decide he and his date need a little privacy?
There's a button here to switch the cameras off if we want to get more cozy. Maybe you could press my button?
Well, certainly hope I can. Here goes.
No, not that button! And I was in there as well.
Hello, I'm Andrew Neil, and the big news tonight is that despite Newsnight's flashy makeover, record numbers of complaints from viewers are still flooding in. We've got the producer of Newsnight in the studio.
Hello.
So, you've spent loads of money on a flashy new set, but viewers are unhappy. Complaints are flooding in. So, what went wrong?
Well, I think we did make one mistake hiring a certain new presenter who asks every question in exactly the same way in the form of an annoying list.
So, he asks every question in the form of a list? Everyone finds this extremely annoying. It certainly seems to be getting on your wicks. So, what went wrong?
Please, Andrew, just shut up.
So, you want Andrew Neil to shut up? You've told him to do so repeatedly, but nothing seems to change. The lists get longer and longer. What went wrong?
Oh, sod this.
Luckily, I have Andrew Neil here with me in the studio. Andrew, you've got a face like a cushion, your hair is like a Brillo pad, you're Murdoch's lapdog, you were sacked from dispatch box, viewers can't stand you, so what went wrong?
Hello, Stars and Rise.
Oh, hello, Stars and Rise. My name is Brian Sewell. I wondered if you had any plans to allow further prolific persons to perform on the programme.
On actual Stars and Rise?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Oh, good.
Who were you thinking of being?
The reason why I wanted to ask is if you would consider an artist not quite in the mainstream, and I wouldn't really be aware of any of today's...
Who was it you were planning to do?
I wanted to represent Canon Archdeacon Forbert Meldrix.
Well, all I can suggest you do is we can send you an application form. You can put that down in your application form. You need to do either some sort of recording of it, either a CD, mini disc, or tape.
I could do that. Now, Canon Archdeacon Forbert Meldrix lived in the year 1512, so obviously I don't have any photographs of him, but...
I don't think anybody's going to know who he is then.
Just to see if I'm in the correct zone here and if this piece of music might be suitable for the programme, I'll give you a little sample of it now, and you can tell me whether it might be suitable for the broadcast.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
This is a hymn written by the aforementioned Archdeacon, which relates to the timelessness and the grace of our Lord.
Right.
Are you ready? Right about now, some may say I am the sexiest man in Jamaica, and I'm being here, and I will never go cold. Yeah, peace.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers from the Edinburgh Festival. It was performed by John Coleshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry and Brian Bowles. It was written by Tom Jameson and Nev Fountain, Lawrence Howarth, Steve Punt, Chris Thompson and Pete Reynolds and John Holmes. The producer was Bill Dare.